To talk with George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Yes, open lines this hour. Hello to all of you, by the way, listening on your very favorite radio station, up there, Satellite, the Fantastic Forum Pirates, Streamlink members, of course, Imaginative World Explorers. This list just keeps growing. Those in the Yahoo chat room and Sorcery IRC and all over the place. Hi to all of you. Thanks for joining and participating with Coast to Coast. And again, like those of you in Los Angeles, thanks for making us number one on KFI. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and your phone calls, and this is our final hour of open lines for you, Art Bell, this weekend, right here on Coast to Coast. Let's pick it up by going west of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is John.
Hey, John.
I'm calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Sure. The home of Richard C. Hoagland, as a matter of fact, the new NASA administrator.
So I'm calling to tell you a story.
All right.
I'm a little starstruck right now, so forgive me. Thank you for doing everything you do.
Oh, thank you for listening and supporting us.
What you guys do is truly unique. About a month ago or so, you had Dr. Wayne Dyer on.
Yes.
And let me tell you, George, because of what you do and the people that you have on your show, my life will never be the same.
I hope that's a good thing, right?
Oh, it is. It is a really good thing. See, Dr. Wayne was telling the story about how he'd never met his father. And do you remember the story?
Oh, sure do. Yeah.
And he rented this car and found this place in Biloxi, Mississippi. And well, the next morning, see, I've never met my biological father. I'm named after him. I'm actually a fourth, and I've never met the man in my entire life. I've heard stories, but I never really got the truth about who he was or what he was.
Mom really didn't want to talk about it, did she?
Yeah, I guess it was a bad breakup, and she just never wanted to go there, so I didn't ever try. Well, the next morning after Dr. Dyer was on, I felt pointed. I felt like I had a mission. So I went to university. I got on the internet and I typed in his name. I typed in his name and I came out with 69 of his name.
Now, was this in a certain area? Did you know what city, what state?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
all over the United States.
69. So maybe that's not a lot of people, I guess, with that name. But
yeah.
Still, 69 people, you had to go and check them all out.
Yep, and I wrote every single one of them down. I wrote every number that I found, I wrote it down. And I went home, I got me a calling card, and I went home, sat down, and I started calling one at a time.
Now tell me, what was your opening line to them when they answered the phone?
You know, I just told them what I was doing and that we have the same name. And I'm trying to find my biological. Like, I was just honest. I just told them what I was doing.
And were they nice to you? Were they pleasant, most of them?
You know, one lady said that she and her husband have been married since they were in high school. And she was a little, like, not maybe confused is the right word.
Yeah, it may be shocked, too, if you ended up being his son. And no, maybe he didn't tell her about this.
Right.
Yeah.
So the seventh number down was him.
You found him?
I found him, the seventh number down, and guess where he lives?
I bet he was, like, close to you. Now that you say it, I'm going to guess he was close.
No, he lives right, like, hop, skip, and a jump away from Biloxi, Mississippi.
Like Dyer.
Like Dyer.
That is strange.
I have one more thing to tell you, George.
No, hold on, though. When you got to tell me this. I mean, was he alive?
He's alive, and I found out I have six brothers and sisters that I never knew about.
Did he talk to you?
We still talk to this day. We talk probably once a week.
Should I even ask you why he didn't stay in touch with you as a little kid?
You know, he wanted to give me that freedom, that choice, to where if I wanted to find him, you know, he stayed at the same address. He stayed around the same city where he's from, and he kind of left it up to me.
Did he ask you about your mother?
He did.
Yeah.
It wasn't all positive, you know. It was definitely a bad thing, like bad breakup, and she left, and he left, and it was a mutual thing. She just wanted to take care of me on her own.
And have you met yet?
No, we haven't met, but I'm planning on going down there sometime in the summer.
And now, what has this done for you?
It's opened me up. It's taken away the mystery of, you know, who is this man. It's taken away a lot of I thought about him every day. Every day since I was a little teenager, I would think about, you know, who is this man that I'm named after? What is he like? What does he look like? Do I look anything like him? And it's taken all that away. I still don't know what he looks like. We're getting ready to exchange photos.
That'll be interesting. And then the meeting itself will be fascinating,
really?
I'm sure. But it filled a hole that I bet was in you for a long, long time.
Yep. Yeah. And I want to tell you, I'm taking it real slow because I'm going to try and call in when you have the psychic come on, because I really want to talk to him and see, you know, if he can tell me anything about how slow I should really take it.
That's Monday. Joseph will be on.
I will be listening.
Okay.
And I'll be trying.
Good luck to you.
And I grew up a little bit in Roswell, New Mexico. I spent most of my high school there.
Mm-hmm. How old are you now?
I'm 26.
Oh, okay.
And you don't come in Roswell. I have had the hardest time finding you. I heard your voice very faintly, and it's underneath a Hispanic channel. The one radio is coming, one station is coming over yours. The signal is really weak, so all the people in Roswell have no idea what you're. They don't know that you do this, and that strikes me as kind of odd because, you know, Roswell is a big part of, you know, what you guys talk about. I mean, aliens and the unknown out there is a lot. And I cannot get to you in Roswell.
Well, I'm trying to get the frequency of the station that we have in that area because, well, we are there. We're all over the place. So as soon as, matter of fact, hang with me for 1 second because we have 500 affiliates and I can't remember every frequency that everyone is on, but I will get it for you in about 3 seconds. The next time you're down there, go to KBIM, which is 9:10 a.m. in Roswell. You should be able to hear me.
Okay.
All right?
See, I was listening on 1200, but yeah, I just want to say thank you, and you guys are life-changing.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You got to tell me what it's like when you meet your father. Got to call back on that one.
I will.
As a matter of fact, call back with him. You'll call in directly. That would be cool.
I could, like, on three-way?
Yeah. That would be an interesting phone call.
I told him the whole story, and he's been listening to you since.
Okay. Tom wants to get your phone number. All right.
I'm
going to put you on hold. That would be cool. I'd like that. Okay, next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. George.
Who is this?
Rosemary from Nebraska.
Hi, Rosemary.
I have to give a holler to my sister in Galveston.
Is she listening?
I hope so. If she's not working, she is.
If she's not, don't give her a holler. Shame on her.
Oh, no, it would only be because she's working. She's a nurse.
Nurse? Is she? What kind of nurse?
She's an RN. She works in the prison systems in Galveston.
Does she? Very needed profession, I'll tell
you that. Definitely.
Yep.
In fact, that's part of why I'm calling. I have done geriatrics for the past 25 years. Started my own practice and do in-home care privately for the past 15, and have helped a lot of people leave this earth, done a lot of hospice cases and coordinated staffing for hospice patients.
Have you had people die in front of you?
Oh yes, I've been with at least 50.
Have you seen the spirit ever leave the body?
I have seen. It's a privilege. People think it's kind of a morbid profession, but to me, it's more of an honor. I've had the privilege of that intimacy of being with someone when they leave this earth, and getting the glimpse of what, you know, I guess the only way to describe it is heaven. And are definitely a better place that they're going to.
And I don't think you have a morbid profession.
Oh, no.
I think the strangest profession, at least for me, would be a mortician.
Yeah, I agree.
That one's strange. Yeah, I think one night what we'll do, maybe even next Friday, we'll open up a special hotline for any morticians that are out there. I bet they have some great stories.
You know what? I deal with them a lot, unfortunately, in my profession. And
they have different personalities.
They have a great sense of humor.
They do?
They are the funniest people. Yeah. I'm wondering, where do they get all their humor from? Because they don't work with anybody.
I bet they, like, eat their lunch while they're embalming somebody.
I wouldn't doubt it.
My very first radio job in Detroit was at a station. They've changed the call letters now. It was WCAR. And as a matter of fact, it was in an old funeral home.
Oh.
And I used to work late.
Oh.
And I was 21 years old, and I did news, and then there was the disc jockey who was in the studio by himself in a glassed-in case. So I'm there running around this place hearing these creaky, crawly things all over the, and I knew this was an old funeral home, and I hated it. It was really weird.
I wouldn't want to spend the night there.
No. No, I did.
However, that is part of why I was calling in, because I've been listening really closely for the past 2 years, off and on for several years, but this past year, almost a year and a half, I got West Nile, and it went into encephalitis and pleurisy, and I've just been pounded, and just about left this earth a couple of times myself. And so you guys have been my company during the night. I am married, but my husband stays with his mother at night, who's elderly.
Well, you didn't have to tell us you were married. I mean, it's not like you're having an affair with anybody here at the staff.
Well, no.
Are you?
But, you know, when you're that ill and you have, you know, I couldn't sleep, I was restless, I was in a lot of head pain, I still have a lot of residual.
What was in your entire career, what was the most heartening case of hospice you ever dealt with? The one that just broke you up?
Actually, this is going to be an odd response, but none of them really broke me up, because there's a period of time.
Not a little, like you said, geriatrics. They were all elderly people, but I guess.
I did work with a gal who was 48, breast cancer. 58 years old, breast cancer. Two children, beautiful family. They all came out from California and stayed with her. Her husband had died 10 years prior in a plane accident, and she'd been battling for 10 years with cancer. And I was doing elderly people as well. I had 3 24-hour cases going on, and plus took on this hospice case and was doing 12-hour shifts with her, just one of myself and one of my other girls.
How'd you do it? How'd you find the time?
I just did it. I just do it. I have a strong faith and strong work ethics and do it. Well, and I believe that's what I'm here for. So when you know that's what you're here for, it's not that taxing. Although you know, that did change my perspective on what I was doing, because I had these little old ladies that I was basically doing 24-hour maintenance cases on, and they were complaining of anything that they could think of, and here I had this 58-year-old woman who had everything to live for, and she wasn't complaining about a thing.
About a thing. Hey, thanks. I got to move on to some other calls, but we appreciate what you do. Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
It's so exciting to talk to you and listen to you frequently, along with Art. I really appreciate the work you do.
Well, we are here for you.
I used to live in Southern Ohio, and this is an area that was settled in the late 1700s, 1800s. And I went to Rio Grande College there. And a friend of mine, we rented a farm on a place called Tin Rose Road, which
Tin Rose,
which in Welsh is House of Roses. And about 100 yards up the hill from where we lived was a cemetery, oddly enough, Tin Rose Cemetery. And it was an old Welsh cemetery. In that cemetery, it had some graves of turn of the century, 1800s, 1812, cholera epidemic type families there. And while we were living there, one night, my girlfriend and I, we get home at different times, and we're sitting out on the front porch, and I told her, I said, boy, who's having a picnic up at the cemetery, you know? And she says, well, I just drove by, and there's nobody up there. And as it got dark, we continued to hear, you know, children laughing and kind of, you know, having a good time. It was like a family picnic up there. And this went on for quite a while, and we kept looking at each other, do you want to walk up to the cemetery? And both of us, no, I don't want to walk up there. But these were sounds. These were cries. These were of joy and laughter and things like that. And there was nobody other than us for 2 to 3 miles anywhere around that cemetery.
Isn't it strange how these things happen at cemeteries?
It is.
These weird sounds and things. Do you ever get scared being in a cemetery?
No, because back there, that was where we went to park as high school students.
No.
So we never got too scared. I'm a paramedic, so
you were necking in a cemetery?
Oh, absolutely. That was the best place in Southern
See,
Ohio.
What would you have done if a hand had come out of the ground and grabbed you?
Oh, heart attack city.
Yep.
Heart attack city. But that is when I changed my whole mind about the, you know, afterlife. Is hearing sounds like that and being a paramedic for 15 years, I never had any type of, you know, experience like that. But that's the only time.
Gosh, I had a paramedic call a couple months ago. They were called to the scene. I don't know why, but they went to a house, and an old man opened the door, and they went in and tried to resuscitate an old man who was on the floor dying or dead. They turn around. The old man who let him in was gone. Turned out to be the same guy.
Oh, my.
Isn't that something?
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, it is. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, good luck.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to continue with open lines in just a moment. If you need to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. It is that simple. Our website is coasttocoastam.com. It's also georgenorey.com. It's a simple way to get to the website. And we've got all kinds of information. Two webmasters, lead webmaster, of course, Lex Lonehood, and then his able trusty assistant, Igor Sean LaDussure. I just threw that in because I'm looking at a picture of Morgus. And Morgus will be with us very briefly at the end of this hour with his words of wisdom to take you into the weekend. But when we come back, we'll have more of your open lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
I'm with wishing on a star to follow where you are. I'm wishing on a dream to follow where you've been. And I'm wishing on all the rainbows that I see. Wishing on all the people who've ever been. Wishing on tomorrow, when will it come? Wishing on all the loving we've ever done. I'm wishing on a star to follow where you are. I never thought I'd see a time when you would be.
Call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Hundreds and hundreds of people are becoming members of the Filament Book Club because they want to take advantage of the free electronic book, the small computer that they send you, so you can read the books and download them. And there are titles they keep growing all the time, including a lot of them from Coast to Coast guests, as a matter of fact. How do you join the book club? Well, there's a website, www.filamentbookclub.com, and that is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's right down there at the bottom, the homepage. Or you can call this toll-free number, 1-888-95-E-BOOK. Simple as that, 1-888-95-E-BOOK. Okay, here we are, open lines for what's left of this hour. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Thanks for holding. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
My name's Eric, and I'm St. Pete, Florida.
Hi, Eric.
I just wanted to make a quick comment, actually two, and I'll be very brief, I promise. The caller, several callers ago, mentioned about Dr. Edwin Land of Polaroid.
Yes.
He was actually an employee of Kodak, George Eastman's employee.
Oh, he was.
Late 40s, early 50s. And his daughter, of course, made that comment about, Daddy, why can't we see these pictures immediately?
Yeah.
And that's when he started Polaroid.
All by himself,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, he brought the product to George Eastman, and he said, no, I don't think it'll fly.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And my other comment only lies with 2001, A Space Odyssey, directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Yes.
Do you think that the writer of that film and that story had any kind of previous knowledge, you know, maybe time traveler knowledge of what was to happen, you know, in the future with Saturn and our current landing on its moon, you know, Io and Europa on Jupiter?
pretty perceptive and maybe very intuitive.
I don't know about that, but certainly something to think about.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. In that movie, when I first saw it, 2001, Space Odyssey, I couldn't understand it. I could not understand it. I didn't know what the monoliths were. I didn't know the significance of the little baby in the womb floating around at the end. I had no idea what that was. And I remember I went on a date on that. I thought it was going to be a great movie. I liked the music. I liked Hal the Computer. But I couldn't understand the movie. I had to look at it about three or four times over the next 20 years. I finally figured it out, I think. But don't ask me. Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good.
This is Benji from Oneonta, New York, listening on WGY 810.
Sure.
Albany. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, thanks.
I'm wondering, like, sometimes when I go for walks outside at, like, nighttime, street lamps go off as I'm, like, approaching them, and they come back on once I get, like, 100 feet away from them.
You've got that electrical pulse about you.
Is that really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do that. The fact that you're walking is fantastic because...
No, not only am I walking, but also in cars.
Okay, like, now let me explain the car thing, and you tell me if it's possible.
All right.
Most of these lights have sensors, right? They come on when it gets dark. They go off when the sun comes up.
Right, they're like light responsive.
Right, so what if there are reflections from your headlights of your car, and that's what's doing it?
That could be.
But if you're walking, that's a great story.
That's good. Have you heard the story before?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. There are some people that have an ability to do that. You probably could even make watches stop ticking.
I've never experienced that before.
Do you have a lot of energy about you?
Yes, I guess so, from what I hear from like other people and stuff.
Do you find that a lot of people like to be next to you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
And
yep.
They always say I have an aura about me.
Absolutely. That's it. All right. Thanks.
Hang on one second.
All right.
All right. You're doing a great job.
Well, you don't have to say that, but thanks.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Of course, I had a friend in St. Louis, Frank Opinion on KTRS. Great guy. Tremendous broadcaster. And every time somebody would call him and say, God, you're doing a great job, Frank, he'd go, my headset's just cut out. What did you say? And he'd make them repeat it about five times. International Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Joe. This is Joe from Victoria, B.C.
Well, hello, sir. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing all right. Got another little ghost story for you.
All
down
right.
Here outside of our apartment building. Everybody sees him around the morning times. He sits there on the bench there, and he smokes his little cigarette, and then he kind of floats away.
Everybody sees him?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you want to see him, come to B.C., go down Manitou Street. You see the big U apartments. He'll be sitting there around 6 in the morning.
Do we know who he is?
Well, that's the thing. I was telling your screener there that he doesn't respond to human stimuli. See,
my screener or the ghost?
Oh, the screener.
Oh.
But I'll sit next to him sometimes and ask him questions, you know, wave my hand through him and stuff. You know, he really don't respond. He stays there for about 5 minutes every morning, and he just sort of floats away. It's the most amazing thing, you know.
Well, he obviously died in the area a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, you could tell he's 1920s clothing.
Oh, way back.
He's got a little cat hat there, with I swear you could put a feather in it. Got his nice little cigarette, you know, sits there every morning. I see him when I'm on my way to work and everything. It's kind of funny you were talking about having a special line for MEs, you know, morticians.
Yeah.
I'm a mortician here in B.C.
Well, wait a minute. Now that I've got that, I got you. We can't let you go yet then.
You want a story, do you?
Oh, yeah. What got you into the business, first of all? Family or what?
It seemed the easiest thing to do because, you know, I was going to medical school and everything, trying to get a doctorate.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a much easier path.
Do you make a lot of money doing this?
Well, I'd say it's a lot easier than fixing people's problems. You just got to sew them shut and put them in a box, basically, and bomb them and everything.
Ever been freaked out?
Well, I bet you most morticians can give you a few stories because human bodies are some amazing things once the souls have left them, you know what I mean? I'm a very spiritual person and everything. I believe in the soul, but if you see some of the things that we see, you know, it's pretty amazing.
I mean, do their eyes, like, pop open?
Well, believe it or not, sometimes they'll say things.
What do you mean they'll say things?
Yeah,
dead people will say things?
Oh, yeah, I've had a neurologist come in here and test it. It's kind of sick to think about it, but he'd hook his little electrodes up
to the body,
to the brain. We cut open the cranium, and he'd hook up his little wires, and he'd turn on his little machine, and, you know, he could make the arm jump or the hand jump or...
Well, what do they say?
Well, that's a strange thing. You see, he can't really make them say anything, but he stimulates a certain part of the brain.
Oh, you mean he's got to have electrodes hooked up to him before anything happens?
Oh, yeah.
I thought maybe they were on a slab, and they'd say, like...
Oh, well, yeah, that has happened once or twice, but it's not a common occurrence. But they have mumbled a few things, like, you know, like some kind of name, you know, someone in their life. But if you really want a doozy story about
That's
a dead
weird.
Person,
yeah,
I could give you something.
I'll take one, sure.
We had this broad a couple of months back. I have a partner that comes in every once in a while to help me out when that person is a little overweight. And this broad was,
woman, don't say broad.
Oh, yeah, okay, this woman. This woman was, I'd say, a good 450, 500 pounds. So I needed a little help with her. We were starting embalming, and she kind of started falling off the table a little bit. So we started trying to push her back up, and she stopped it. Well, she didn't stop us. She flung her arm out and knocked my friend across the room. And I said, "Well, that's just for a first thought. You know, this is a normal reaction. You know, because sometimes you get these little jumpy movements from their nerves or leftover impulses." But no, this was no spasm. This was a big thrust. I mean, she knocked him clear across the room, you know. And I was like, you know, wait a minute, this got to be some kind of spasm. And then she reached her other hand out,
no,
and put it on my chest.
She wasn't dead, was she?
Oh, she was dead, all right. We had sewed her mouth shut and her eyes shut beforehand. And
well, that's nice of you.
Oh well, it's a normal procedure. But she put her hand on my chest, and she sat there. And I said, wait a minute, this ain't right. You can't have two spasms in the same moment. And this freaked him out. My friend, he didn't even say a word. I mean, he just turned around and walked up the stairs and out of the room. And then this woman here, she has her hand on my chest. You know, I take it off and put it back on the table. And she starts having all kinds of jumpy movements. And I didn't notice that she had died from an electrical shock. And that's the reason for these amazing
spasms. But that's a weird story. Have you ever thought that you guys were going to bury somebody who was still alive?
Well, one time we did have a woman, it was an elderly lady. She was in a comatose state. She was alive. We had to send her back to the hospital. And it's very scary that sometimes it does happen. They send them over to the funeral home, and they're still alive.
What's that chemical you put in people, formaldehyde?
Well, we used to use formaldehyde. Now we use this new stuff called FMH. It's a mixture of alcohol and formaldehyde because... I don't know, something about the environment with formaldehyde seeping through the grave or something like that.
Well, good thing you hadn't had her hooked up to that by then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have new procedures now just to make sure that that never happens again.
You heard my story of a old guy who was ready to die, and he went up to his family, and he had a phobia about being buried alive. So he told them, please... put a cell phone in the casket with me.
And, you know, really?
And his family, like, laughed. They chuckled. But they, you know, they had to appease him. They said, sure, Dad, we'll do it. So sure enough, he died. And the two brothers and the sister were arguing about whether to buy a cell phone and put it in the casket. And they said, look, we promised him. So they went out and they did it. And they buried him. And apparently he was still alive. He wakes up. And he's panicking. I mean, you can imagine you're in a casket. He reaches, finds the cell phone somehow in the casket. He's going, thank God my family remembered me. Turns it on, and it says no service. Gotcha.
Hey, George, could you say a few words about where you grew up, you know? Because I never hear anything about the house, Arbel or you, about where you guys come from, you know?
Well,
kind of a mystery to us.
I didn't come from this planet.
Oh, you're Dexter Monterey now, eh?
Uh-huh. It's a long one. I got to run. Thanks.
Okay,
right,
bye.
Bye. Nope, I was kind of dropped here a few years ago, but I'll get into that one day. Okay, let's go back to the phones. We've still got some time. Who's been on the line? West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is John. How you doing?
Hey, John, where are you?
I'm in New Mexico.
Okay.
Hey, well, I got a really interesting story for you.
I'm ready.
You're going to love this. So we're driving out in the middle of the desert, right? Nobody as far as the eye can see. You can't see anybody. There's no cars, nobody, right? It's about maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon or so, kind of late summer, so, you know, the days are getting shorter. Anyway, the sun's pretty much in front of us. You know, it's in the front of the windshield of the truck, right? We're driving along, and all of a sudden we feel like, hey, the sun is behind us? Wait a minute. What? So we're all confused. We look back, and there's this big silver disc, right? Yeah. My brother remembers this, too. He was with me. It was three of us in the truck, right? So anyway, you'll have to forgive me, I'm a little nervous. Anyway, so we're driving along, we turn around, there's a big silver disc, the truck cuts out, everything starts turning purple and blue, and like we're all like moving slow, and Steve is just sitting there just frozen, my brother's pretty much frozen, right?
Yeah.
The truck stops, it like close to a stop, right? And then I can see these little figures kind of running up to the side of the truck, right? And this little guy opens the door. Sure enough, it's a gray alien with a big, you know, with big wraparound eyes, with gray, you know, little short.
No way.
Yeah, I'm serious. Dead serious.
3 feet tall?
Right there in my face.
Something like that?
Huh?
About 3 feet tall?
Yeah, about 3 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So anyway, I can't move. You know, I'm like moving like real slow, but I can move. I can see, you know, and no, apparently nobody else could. So anyway, it opens the door, and it's moving pretty fast. It's like kind of a blur, right? So I panicked, and I punched him right in the head. It sounded just like a gourd, right? Boom, got him right in the head, right?
Did he go down?
Yeah, it made a sound. It like ring, you know, and took off. And everything scrambled. The light came back on, and it was dark.
That's amazing.
Oh, man.
Give me that sound again when you popped him.
Boink.
That, my friends, is the sound of an alien getting punched.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, it sounded just like a watermelon. You know, if you pound on it, kind of tap on it with your hand.
Yeah, that kind of
hollow sound.
Hollow sound, that's right.
That's exactly what it did.
All right.
And then, real quick, when I got a ghost story for you.
I've got about a minute for you.
Okay, I got 30 seconds. We're in a trailer out my cousin's ranch, right?
Yeah.
The trailer's locked from the inside, okay?
All right.
Now, my brother's sleeping it up, and I'm sleeping the down thing. He wakes up, looks over, and sees this really, really white figure or something, right? It turns, looks at him, it's out the door, right? The trailer was locked from the inside, okay?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And my brother he started screaming.
Strange things around you guys.
Yeah, I tell you.
All right, thanks.
I turn on lights instead of turn them off.
Have a good weekend.
You too, thanks.
All right, did you hear that popping sound when he hit an alien in the head? I've got time. Let's see if we can do something, because Morgus is coming in for a little discussion here. You know Morgus. But by the way, I love him. Morgus was my childhood idol. He's a mad scientist. His website is www.morgus.com. Pay it a visit. You know, if you're in for a treat every once in a while and you want to go back to your, revert back to your childhood, go back. But even adults just get a kick out of Morgus. He's a character. You got to look at his picture too. We'll probably get him back in again for a lengthier stay in a couple months or so, because we're trying to help him. He used to do these great movies, for example. He'd do these intros in the movies in Detroit and then New Orleans, where he started, and he lives down in that area now. And just the best television a kid could ever see. I mean, it was witty and funny and wholesome, and it was just decent stuff. And I really, really got a kick out of it. So we're going to share with you now another one of Dr. Morgus's herstory rhymes. And this one has to do with voodoo. So sit back, relax, and then when he's finished doing whatever he does, I'll come back on and say goodnight and wish you a good weekend. So don't go away. Sit back and listen to our dear friend, the one and only Dr. Morgus.
Do you believe in voodoo? The spirit of the evil that can place a hex upon you and cause your life's upheaval? Beware! Don't deny this power, for it can make you grieve. Wicked spells come to those like you who claim to not believe. So Here is an example to prove the power of my case. I am going to wax a doll in the image of your face. I now call voodoo spirits to conjure up a curse and cast upon your doubtful mind a hex you can't reverse. And now, the pin I stick into the doll I have in hand and bring about the morbid curse. Only devils understand. I stick the pin in deeper till blood comes oozing out. I'll know that it is working when you begin to shout. Oh, you don't feel pain, you say. No hex can make you weep. Well, wait till you're in bed tonight and try to go to sleep.
The one and only Dr. Morgus. And it's Morgus.com on his website. For Dan Galante, Karis Coburn, Steve Card, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesue, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere way out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.